Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today we want to look at the benefits that we get from the revealing of Jesus. Benefits that we get when Jesus Christ is revealed or unveiled. And I want us to look at John chapter 5 and then verse 39. John chapter 5 verse 39. That is where we are taking our text from. This is Jesus who is speaking to his people. And then he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Hallelujah. So these words were spoken to the Jewish people, Jesus' people, and he tells them that they should search the scriptures. Of course, at this time, the New Testament had not been written, okay? So the scriptures that Jesus referred to is talking about the Old Testament. So Jesus says that they should search it, search it. Wow, the Old Testament is supposed to be searched. When we search it, what should we see? There is something we need to see in searching the Old Testament. It means that that thing is hidden in the Old Testament, or whatever we are searching for is hidden in the Old Testament. So there is something hidden in the Old Testament which we have to search for. Wow. Now, we must understand that Jesus said that the Old Testament, which he referred to as the scriptures here, they testify of him. In other words, they talk about him. To testify of something is to talk about that thing. It is to be a witness to that thing or about that thing. So Jesus says that the Old Testament, they testify or they talk about him. Have you ever considered that in the pages of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is hidden, so we have to search for him in it? Hallelujah. So Jesus is concealed in the Old Testament and he is mysteriously intermingled with the personalities of the Old Testament, like Adam, like Abel, like Enoch, like Noah, like Abraham, you know, all of the personalities of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is hidden in them. Wow. So these personalities, they talk about Jesus. Have you ever thought that Adam talks about Jesus? Have you ever thought that Noah talks about Jesus, is a witness to Jesus? Have you ever thought that Abel is a witness to Jesus? He is testifying or talking about Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, all of the people in the Old Testament, all of the prophets of the Old Testament, Elijah, Elijah, all of the prophets, Moses, they are all talking about Jesus. And when we say talking about Jesus, it is not necessarily that they are speaking some words about Jesus, but that it means that they stand in a way for Jesus. Wow. So that is what we have to know, that the Old Testament is full of Jesus. Jesus is also hidden behind the occurrences and the objects of the Old Testament, like the voice of God, the voice of God, you know, the light of God. the tree of life, the garden of Eden itself, the animal skin that God killed or God used to clothe mankind when man sinned, is talking about Jesus. Abel's sacrifice is a pointer to Jesus. The mark on Cain's face, you know, when Cain killed Abel, God set a mark on his face. It's talking about Jesus. Noah's ark is talking about Jesus. The ark of the covenant is talking about Jesus. The red heifer, you remember, there is a red heifer. A heifer is a female cow that has not brought forth before, you know. It's talking about Jesus. The bronze serpent, the burning torch of the Abrahamic covenant, you know, is talking about Jesus. The high priest of the Old Testament is talking about Jesus. The wisdom of God, the Passover lamb, etc., etc. So apart from the personalities of the Old Testament who are testifying of Jesus, the objects and some occurrences or phenomena of the Old Testament is also pointing to Jesus. Again, every part of the Old Testament that mentioned any of the five sacrifices, you know, like the burnt offering, meat offering, peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering, is a pointer to Jesus. Because that one offering of Jesus Christ on the cross summarizes all of the offerings of the Old Testament. They are all collapsed in that one sacrifice of Jesus when he died on the cross. So when you read about the burnt offerings and the peace offerings and all that, you must know that this is not talking about burnt offering or peace offering. This one is talking about Jesus. So we must find Jesus over there. Hallelujah. You know, the Old Testament is full of sacrifices. That is talking about Jesus. It's a pointer, it's a shadow of the perfect sacrifice that Jesus Christ came to offer on the cross. Or he gave his life to. Wow. Again, every name of the Old Testament testifies of Jesus. Either in whole or in various parts, there is a part of that name that talks about Jesus, that is testifying of Jesus, that is shadowing Jesus, you know, foreshadowing Jesus. Wow. So when you put all those various names and various parts together like a jigsaw puzzle, they are supposed to form a picture of our dearest Jesus. Again, Jesus Christ has been splashed all over the Old Testament like a secret watermark. You know, a watermark is something that you see only when it is exposed to light. So if you take a typical currency, most currencies have got watermarks. You know, you don't see it with your eyes unless you show it to light, and then you see that a picture emerges. That is how Jesus Christ has been embossed, you know, in the Old Testament, in a way that ordinary people cannot see it. You know, when you read the Old Testament, you may not see it. You may not see him, but he is there. But when you let the light of God, you lift up the Old Testament in the light of God. You remember the Bible says that God is the Father of lights. When you lift it up, then you see an image is forming and you say, oh, wow, Jesus is here. And we didn't know it. Hallelujah. Jesus is like a watermark in every action of the people of the Old Testament. He is there. Whether the whole action is a watermark of Jesus or part of their action is speaking about Jesus or gives a picture of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest test ever in life is for you to be able to discover Jesus in the pages of the Old Testament. That's the greatest test. You know, I say that is the greatest test, because if you come to the New Testament, or indeed the whole Bible, ends with a book called The Revelation of Jesus. That is the ultimate. The ultimate God wants you to get from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the 66 books of the Bible, is the final one. Which is the final one talking about? It's talking about the revelation of Jesus. Hallelujah. That is the grand test. That is the climax. That is the cream. The revelation of Jesus. Wonderful. In fact, if you read the book of Revelations, the very last words of Revelation is talking about Jesus Christ in a certain way. Look at Revelations 22 and then verse 21. What does that verse say? Because that is those are the last words of the Bible. What are the last words of the Bible? We know that the last book of the Bible is the book that is revealing the glorified Jesus, or revealing the work of Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. But look at verse 21. It tells us a certain part of Jesus that is the ultimate we must get. It says what? It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So, the revelation of Jesus that God wants us to get is the revelation of his grace. Hallelujah. You see, some people think that grace is something that is so important, yes, but for unbelievers. And by grace, you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. People think about grace and love, you know, and all the related, the derivatives of grace and love, and they think that, well, it's for children. It's children who listen to some of these things, you know, who are concerned about grace and favor, and but as an adult, you must look at your works, what you can do, or what you do, you know, how you can help yourself. That's what we think. When you grow up, then you don't depend. You depend on yourself. You focus on your efforts. But when you're a child, then everything is given to you by grace. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not so. Actually, if you look at our Lord Jesus, God filled him with grace. Filled him with grace and truth, the Bible says. So if you take Jesus and break him into two, you know, you only see two things in him, grace and truth. That is what he is full of. And so the Bible ends by telling us that the grace of Jesus, which is the ultimate, be with you. Grace is such a mature thing, because it takes maturity to understand grace. It takes the Holy Spirit and his involvement for you to even know grace and understand grace. Because the fallen human nature is always thinking about, what can I do for myself? You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They sowed fig leaves. They are thinking about their works, what they can do for themselves. That's what the fallen nature has disposed us. We think about, what can I do? What should I do to deserve something? We focus more on our works, on ourselves, and what we can do. But it takes maturity, ladies and gentlemen, to understand this grand test of knowing or seeing Jesus in the Old Testament, indeed in all of the Bible. It takes the Holy Spirit. You remember there was a time that Jesus took Peter's boat. He went into the sea of Galilee, and then he fished. He preached. Afterwards, he said that, throw your net to the right side and you'll find fish. Because Peter has fished all night, he couldn't find anything. So when Peter did that, he got so much fish that the Bible says that the net began to break. Called other people, come and help me. And then they came, and then the boats were about sinking, you know. And Peter said something. He said, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see, the fallen human nature not only focuses on what he can do, what it must help itself with, but the fallen human nature sees the holiness of God. The fallen human nature instinctively knows the holiness of God. That is why Peter saw the fish, plenty fish, and he said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner." Why didn't he see the love of Jesus? Why did he see the holiness of Jesus and his sinfulness, and not the love of Jesus or the grace of Jesus? Because he was full of it. Why didn't Peter see that? Somebody who graciously gave me so much fish, he is full of grace. Why didn't he see that? Why didn't he say that, "Oh, how gracious you are," or "How loving you are, Jesus. My sweet Jesus, I love you because you love me." No, Peter didn't see that. What he saw was the holiness of Jesus and his sinfulness. Why? Because the fallen nature instinctively, without being instructed, without the help of even the Holy Spirit, knows that God is holy and they are sinners.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Wow! That is why if you read the Old Testament, especially when people see God, they feel they are going to die because God is holy and they are sinners. But that is not what God wants us to see about him. Ladies and gentlemen, what God primarily wants us to see about him is his love. That is why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit will come and do what? Reveal Jesus. Jesus himself said that when the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus is full of truth. The Spirit of truth is coming. He is coming to testify of him. He is coming to witness of him or talk about him. What is it about Jesus that the Holy Spirit wants to talk about? The grace of our Lord Jesus. That is what he is full of. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to see his son Jesus. And why not? Why not? Because John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us that he was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, referring to the word. And then he said, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the word of Jesus created everything. Let me ask you, when you make something, don't you put your logo on it? Yeah, you do. Even people who make cars, they put their logo. This is Toyota, the symbol. They put Mercedes-Benz so that the car is going, you can see by the logo that this is a Mercedes-Benz. Because these days, the cars that come, they look alike. They look almost like the same. You see the back of the car, you can't tell unless you go near and you see that this is a Nissan. And you see the Nissan logo. If Jesus Christ made us, if he made everything that the Bible says, that nothing was made that he didn't make. He is the maker. If that is so, then he will put his logo on every creation, everything, including the wind. So when the wind is blowing, you must see Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Let me put it this way. When you make something, the Bible says that the heavens are the works of your hands. It means that he uses hands to do it. When you make something, don't you leave your fingerprints on it? At least when you hold something, you can blow something there and you can see that it is me who squeezed the neck of that guy to die. So when they're going to squeeze the neck, they wear gloves. Bad people. So that they can see that that is their work. If Jesus made you and I, if he made the trees, he made the sea, he made the fish, he made everything that has been created, then when we look closely, just blow God's chemical on the wind, you see that, hey, that's the same fingerprint I saw on this sister, I saw on this tree, I saw on the stones, I saw on the sea, everywhere. Hallelujah. That is a grand test, ladies and gentlemen, to see the Son of God. That is why when Jesus resurrected from death, he engaged in two main type of ministry. I should put it this way. You know, the first thing was that he engaged in unveiling himself to people from the pages of the Old Testament. You remember the walk to Emmaus? Jesus Christ was going after the resurrection. Some two people were going, two disciples. He joined himself to them. And they were going to a village called Emmaus. And the Bible says that although the resurrected Jesus was with them, their eyes were not open. So they couldn't see that this was Jesus, who is the third person, who is even talking literally with them. They couldn't see him because he closed their eyes until he opened the scriptures for them to see him. This is in Luke chapter 24 or so. He opened the scriptures for them to see him. And then he went to dinner. He went to their home or wherever they were going. And Jesus, being the guest, took the bread. Can you imagine? He was a guest. But he took the bread and he broke it to serve the host. And when he broke the bread, the Bible says their eyes were opened. And they saw him and he vanished out of their sight. Only to appear to the 11 apostles who were hidden in a room. And to also use scriptures to reveal him. The question is that, why didn't Jesus Christ reveal himself that, or make the people on the way to Emmaus, those two disciples, why didn't he make them see him? Because if it were me, I want them to see me. That yes, I was the one who died. Now look, the miracle, I resurrected. I told you, I have power over death and things like that. I would have wanted that. I would have wanted the whole of Israel to know that I have resurrected, and I will organize one major crusade and stand up and say, hey, look at my side. Hey, look at my hand. You killed me. Have you seen? I have resurrected. I told you that destroyed the temple in 3 days, I raised it up. Have you seen? I have done that. I would have wanted, I would have done more miracles, but when he rose from death, there is no record of any healing miracle he did. Rather, he was revealing himself, not literally that they see him, this is Jesus, no, but through the pages of the scriptures of the Old Testament. Because of what? Because he said to them before he died, John chapter 5 verse 39, that you search the scriptures because you think in the scriptures you have eternal life, but the scriptures are testifying of me. But when they say the scriptures, they never see Jesus that the scriptures is testifying of. Hallelujah. So everything is talking about Jesus. Every creation is talking about Jesus. All the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is talking about Jesus. It ends in the name. One name is mentioned, Jesus Christ. And one thing about Jesus is mentioned, the grace of our Lord Jesus. Because it takes maturity to understand grace. It takes somebody who depends on God to understand grace. But the fallen human nature will always make you think about what you can do, your effort, your righteousness, and the things that you can put in, what you can put on the table, the offering you can give, whatever thing you can give. It's always you giving. That's a natural man. Without telling him, when he's going to a shrine, he will take something along. Because the natural man thinks about, what can I put on the table? What can I do for myself so that the deity can do something for me? That is how the human nature is like. And that is basic. That one is not taught. It comes instinctively. But the Holy Spirit came to reveal the love of God, to reveal Jesus. That is why the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. Because the human nature instinctively doesn't know that God is love. He runs away from God, that God is holy. But God is love. It takes revelation, the Holy Spirit, for him to know God is love. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus, what he is full of, to testify of Jesus before we know him. Hallelujah. So the grand test, ladies and gentlemen, in this life, what you must aim for is seeing Jesus in everything. Everything from the Bible to creation. That's the grand test. It goes beyond you getting married and having a wonderful married life and two children, one boy, one girl, that resemble you. The boy resembles your husband and the girl resembles you. It goes beyond having cars and travel opportunities, including going to outer space. What God wants to give us, it goes beyond having a great job, having many things that your heart desires. What God wants to bless your life with. These things, we see unbelievers walking in it. It's not any big deal. We don't come to church because if we don't come to church, we will not be rich. Or God will not love us and then he will not give us money. They are unbelievers who don't come to church, but God has blessed them. Yes, God blessed them. Because the goodness of God is the one that is making us to repent. We are not here to dance hard, to praise hard, so that God will see that we praise him from our heart and God will give us money, dollars. What he wants to give you and I, it goes beyond all this. I'm not saying he doesn't want to give you, but the grand test, the ultimate thing he wants to make you know is knowing Jesus. That's why the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, how can it pass away when the word is a personality called Jesus? How can it pass away? Because he is from everlasting to everlasting, ladies and gentlemen. How can he pass away? But all that we see, including the world, will pass away. What remains, the grand test is the word that Jesus is the revealing of our Lord Jesus. So ladies and gentlemen, let's proceed by understanding that the Old Testament testifies of Jesus. So what you have to do, anytime you take the Bible, anytime you take the Bible, any part of the Bible, old and new, you say to God, God, let me see your son in it. But I'll tell you about something that can keep you from seeing Jesus when you open your Bible. What can prevent you from seeing Jesus when you open the Bible is when you think that the Bible is talking about you. I'll say it again. One of the major things that can keep you from seeing Jesus in the pages of the Bible, especially the Old Testament, is when you think that the personalities of the Old Testament, the phenomena of the Old Testament, you know, they are talking about you as a believer. Or as a man of God. Because many times people read about Abraham and they think that, especially people who are in the fivefold ministry, you know, let me tackle it that way. All right, good. Especially people who are in the fivefold ministry, they think that Abraham and Noah and Elijah and Elisha and all the prophets is talking about them, that is the present day man of God. Because Elijah was a man of God in the Old Testament, right? And then I am a man of God living now in 2017. So if I read about a man of God in the Old Testament, it means that he's talking about me. And if I read about the ministry of Elisha, then it means that he's talking about my ministry. If I look at the ministry of a prophet in the Old Testament, it means that he's talking about me as a prophet now, today. You get the thing? Jesus, listen very clearly to me. Jesus never said that the Old Testament is talking about you as a man of God. He didn't say it's talking about the ministries that you see in the Old Testament, the ministry of Moses, and Moses did this to Aaron, and he did this to the people of Israel and all that. So me too, in the New Testament, I have a church, me too, I can do that. You are not Moses. Moses is testifying of Jesus, not of you or of your ministry. So they read things like what 2 Chronicles 20:20 said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you prosper. Believe in his prophets, so shall you be established. And they say that, well, now I am the modern day prophet, so you have to believe in me to prosper, right? You believe in God to be established, and you believe in the prophets to prosper.
And because they believed the prophet in the Old Testament and then they prospered, if you believe me, the prophet, right now, what I'm telling you to go and bring some things, then you will prosper. Ladies and gentlemen, that prophet in the Old Testament is not talking about you as a prophet today. It's talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he is our prophet. He is the voice of God. He is the word. His kingdom word is that which when you listen to, you will prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. If there is any prophet of our day now, his name is called Jesus. The Bible says what? That he is the voice of God. He is the word of God. Can you understand that? His whole person is prophecy. His whole person is God's word. His whole person is that says the Lord. Because the prophet is supposed to declare the word of God. So how can you be a prophet now? You are declaring the word of God and you never talk about Jesus. It's impossible. Because he is the word of God. He is our that says the Lord. God said, forget about Moses, forget about Elijah. Listen to my son. Wow. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.